Treasury yields have made a sharp move higher. Government spending is giving drunken sailors a bad name. Have we finally reached the government debt crisis that so many people have been predicting for so long? Are we beyond the limit of what sane markets will tolerate? We have a definitive answer. It's just written in German. Now, what I mean by that is that there's been a noticeable divergence between U.S. Treasury rates and their German counterparts. And the answer to our question lies in that discrepancy. And the discrepancy begins where Treasury market stability ended a couple weeks ago. If you recall, between the middle of February and the early part of April, Treasury rates were pretty steady with maybe a little bit of a downward bias. The 10-year Treasury yield was stuck around 4.30, 4.35. But then suddenly, in the early part of April, rates have skyrocketed. The 10-year Treasury is up about 30 basis points in less than 2 weeks. Is that the emergence of this U.S. Treasury debt crisis? Is this the reflation trade? What is it that we can actually learn from the German market? Now, before we get into all that, I want to remind you first, Eurodollar University is having its spring sale. We're in actually the final days. We're going to end it on Friday. We've got 1 month free on either the membership or the daily briefing. Sign up, cancel anytime in the first 30 days, no risk to you. We've got tremendous annual savings on both of those, as well as huge savings on the daily deep dive analysis. In fact, our best savings when you put all three of those together. Again, final days, Friday's the last day. All the information on the spring sale is at our website, eurodollar.university. Now, the first thing you need to know and be aware of, and maybe you're not aware, that the U.S. Treasury market and the German market, they often trade in lockstep fashion. In fact, they're almost as if they're one single market, because they are actually a single market, but they trade often identically, like mirror images. A perfect example of that is 2022. While there was consumer price pressures everywhere, rate hikes from central banks, despite the differences between Europe and the United States, or what appear to be differences between Europe and the United States, Treasury yields and German yields moved in almost, again, lockstep fashion. That started to change, however, around December of 2022. Suddenly, U.S. Treasuries caught a little bit of an additional bid that wasn't present in the German marketplace. And then throughout early part of 2023, right on into the banking crisis, Treasury market prices outperformed their German counterparts. Yields were lower in the U.S. market relative to where they were in Germany. But then from middle of May, after the banking crisis, throughout the summer, and of course the September effect sell-off, Treasury yields started to converge with their German counterparts all over again. By the time we get to September and October, they're right back to convergence. And then in early October, importantly, we'll come back to this a little bit later, the German market began to turn around as the September effect dissipated. In fact, it turned around in the early days of October, as the Treasury market continued to overshoot higher. So Treasury yields were rising. Everyone was talking about a debt crisis back then. At the same time, the German market was already turned around and heading into the global bond rally, which the Treasury market eventually joined in later on in October. So throughout November and December, both were moving again in lockstep fashion. And they continued to move in mirror image fashion in the early part of 2024, through the usual historical pattern. After the big bond rally, interest rates tend to pause for a while. They back up a little bit and trade mostly sideways, which both of them did up until the early part of April. Around April 5th, suddenly Treasury rates have moved way up, but German rates continue to be very steady. But it's not just the past couple years. This German-U.S. symbiosis goes back a long, long ways, really to 2008 and 2009. There's your first clue. Maybe the best example is 2010, 2011, and 2012. You don't even need to mess with the scale here. You can put the two marketplaces in the trajectory of the yields on the same exact scale, same nominal rates, same everything, and they're incredibly close. Throughout what we call Eurodollar number two, Germany, treasuries, despite, again, the apparent differences, the European sovereign debt crisis versus what was everybody thought was nothing about the United States, German yields, treasury yields moving in lockstep fashion. And it's not just a 10-year either. You can use other maturities like the 5-year or the 2-year, but we'll focus on the 10-year here. There were some divergences in 2012 and into 2013, so we'll pick back up in the middle of 2013 after the taper celebration. It wasn't a tantrum, it was a celebration. And once again, common theme here, through the disinflation and deflation of Eurodollar number 3 in 2014, 15, and 16, what do we see? Treasury market, German market, moving together as if they're the same marketplace. And that held up right into 2016 throughout the emerging market crisis, the slowdown in China. Again, more clues here. It lasted right up until the middle of November of 2016. Suddenly, as you'll see here, Treasury rates surged over and above where Germany was actually pricing at the time. And that was coincident to the election of Donald Trump, though that's not what's really happening here. So for the next couple years, through globally synchronized growth in 2017 and into 2018, toward the end of 2018, suddenly Treasury yields trade at a premium to their German counterparts. German yields were largely steady through globally synchronized growth, while Treasuries had sold off far above what Germany was actually showing. It was almost as if there was a single factor that was added to the Treasury market that wasn't apparent in the German market. Even though there was still a strong correlation, you can see the back and forth, the short run fluctuations in both markets that are completely identical. It's just that there's an additional factor or an additional premium in the Treasury market that wasn't present in the German market at that time. And then, of course, the landmine in 2018 affected both markets at the same time. But as you'll see, suddenly that factor seems to go away in 2019. Treasury yields converge back down to where Germany was. By the time you get to August and September of 2019, as the Fed is doing its not QE, there's repo problems, and the Europeans are restarting QE, they're almost all the way back together once again. Now, what the 2017-2018 episode shows us is that there was a factor there. And that factor was the Federal Reserve. Because in late 2016, the Federal Reserve under Janet Yellen picked back up on the rate hikes that they had paused for an entire year after not really understanding what happened with Eurodollar number 3 and the effects on the U.S. economy. They had hiked rates, remember, initially in December 2015, then they paused for the entire year. And as December of 2016 approached, they started talking about hiking rates, picking back up on it, as reflation was actually developing throughout the global economy, heading into globally synchronized growth. So it wasn't necessarily the election of Donald Trump in November 2016, as it was the rate hike factor. So we look at German yields as sort of the underlying basis of growth and inflation, which I'll go over in just a moment. And then in the Treasury market, we have to account for the Federal Reserve's hikes, because we do have to account for those. And unlike the ECB, which kept rates steady, in fact, they were still doing QE throughout this period, not that QE has an impact on yields, but it tells us what central banks are intending to do. And throughout 2017 and 2018, the ECB had zero interest rates and doing QE. At the same time, the Federal Reserve is hiking rates, and that accounts for the difference between Germany and treasuries. Treasuries were pricing and factoring and including that Federal Reserve premium in their yields, over and above where they likely would have been down with their German counterparts. And then, of course, what happens late 2018? We have this landmine, what we call the landmine at Eurodollar University, October, November, and December of 2018, which was an outbreak of deflationary monetary interruption, all that kind of stuff that was forewarned in the marketplace. And the Federal Reserve looks at that and says, okay, there's something wrong in the system. We see the economy weakening, not just around the rest of the world. We see signs of it here in the United States. And so suddenly the Fed rate hikes turned into Fed rate cuts. We remove the Fed in 2019, and where do Treasury yields go? They go back down to their fundamental basis, which is more accurately portrayed in the German market. So you remove the Fed from the equation, and the two can converge all over again. Converge where Germany is, not where treasuries are. So Germany is the fundamental baseline, or more often is the fundamental baseline. And in 2017 and 2018, the difference between them was uncertainty about the Federal Reserve. Were they going to continue hiking rates? And once they stopped hiking rates, markets converge again. So that gives us the answer to where we are now, or even over the last couple of years. As I mentioned, there was divergence in the early part of 2023, going back to December of 2022. That was uncertainty about, again, Fed rate hikes. With the U.S. bank crisis hitting U.S. regional banks more than any over in Europe, certainly in the ECB's jurisdiction, Credit Suisse failed, but that's the Swiss National Bank, not the ECB, the U.S. Treasury market began to pick up higher uncertainty of potentially an end to rate hikes and maybe even some rate cuts in the middle of last year if things continued to go in the wrong direction. So the U.S. Treasury market was again pricing more uncertainty in the downward direction over the expected path of short-term rates. And the same thing happened in early October. The German market had more clarity on where short-term rates are going to be in Europe because the ECB had already paused after their September meeting. In fact, they telegraphed the pause and said, we're basically done. At the same time, the Treasury yield had a higher degree of uncertainty because Federal Reserve policymakers kept talking about higher for longer. We need to go higher. We weren't sure we're restrictive. And so for those several weeks in October, once again, just like in 2017 or 2018, just not to the same degree, you had that additional Fed uncertainty premium show up in the Treasury market. And then once policymakers started to calm down on consumer prices, disinflation, the market started to read policymakers' viewpoints as consistent with disinflation, that additional Fed uncertainty disappears in the Treasury market and the two converge all over again. So what I'm saying here in the current period, in the month of April, this divergence that we see between Germany and Treasuries is once again this Fed uncertainty premium. It's not reflation, because if it was reflation, it would show up in the German market too. It's not in the German market. Remember, German market is fundamental global growth and inflation, expectations. That's why Treasuries and German market trade in often lockstep fashion, because they're fundamentally picturing the same thing with these idiosyncratic factors piled on occasion. And that's what we're getting right now. Uncertainty about the future path of short-term interest rates is so much higher right now in the United States with the Federal Reserve than it is in Europe. The Europeans continue to say they're ready to cut rates as soon as June, if not sooner. Other places in Europe, like the UK, they're ready to cut rates too. The Swiss have already done so. Meanwhile, over here in the US, just like October, we've got policymakers all over the place, clearly unable to make up their mind. That type of uncertainty about the future path of short-term interest rates is giving us another premium in the Treasury market. Again, it's not growth and inflation expectations, and it's not reflation. If it was, we would see that in Germany. The German sell-off would be just as big as the Treasury sell-off. In fact, the German market isn't actually selling off, which is our answer here. The very fact that these two markets, these seemingly very different markets, trade often in identical mirror image fashion shows you that it cannot be government debt supply that is the primary factor setting prices and yields in these markets. It can't be. The German government doesn't issue nearly as much debt. It's orders of magnitude less. The US government obviously has gone absolutely completely insane. Yet these markets they trade as if they're a single marketplace. It can't be about supply. And really the Treasury market should have demonstrated that far and away above any reasonable doubt over the past year and a half. Treasury rates have been basically stable. Yes, they're up and down in short-run fluctuations, but they've been mostly sideways with some more variation for the last year and a half, trading alongside Germany, despite the fact the federal government's issuance of debt has gone completely insane. And the other explanation about supply is the Federal Reserve. The Fed isn't buying bonds. It hasn't been buying bonds during this period, and yet here we have this solid correlation between these two very different markets. Because bond yields are about fundamentals, growth and inflation expectations. However, it's not just growth and inflation expectations. The marketplace does have to consider the expected future path of short-term interest rates. because the Federal Reserve or the ECB or whatever central bank does offer alternative investment opportunities through its benchmark rates and its benchmark programs like the reverse repo or IOR. So the marketplace does have to consider what the Federal Reserve's rates are going to be, just not just today, but more so in the future. And if the Federal Reserve doesn't offer much clarity, the uncertainty about the path of short-term interest rates can be very wide. And so that does impact trading in the marketplace. Bond rates are not supply, though you hear that all the time. In fact, that's the accepted way to interpret the bond market and yields in academia and central bank, among economists and whatnot. Bond yields are growth and inflation expectations with the caveat of having to factor the expected future path of short-term interest rates, which means you're introducing politics and non-economics, which can get really sticky and uncertain, especially during these periods when maybe the German market is certain about the expected path of short-term interest rates, and both markets are pretty clear about growth and inflation expectations, which are not good, as the Chinese just reminded us yesterday. But either way, they have to consider the short-term rate trajectory in both places. And right now, it's far more uncertain and unstable in the U.S. than it is in Germany. Therefore, we have this divergence, just like last October. U.S. Treasury market's current rise in yields is not the government debt crisis. It's also not reflation. As I mentioned, if it was reflation, the German market would be picking up on that too. It's not. We also see that in the way the two-year tenor spread in Treasuries has been relatively constant too. Not seeing a decisive move in the bull steepener case there either. What it is telling us is that we don't know how to price the Federal Reserve, which is a common theme. The future path of short-term interest rates has become highly uncertain given, especially recently, the U.S. CPI and some other economic accounts as well. We don't know how the Federal Reserve is going to interpret them. And while the German market is telling us the global situation hasn't changed, and the Treasury market up until recently said you completely agree, what has changed is exactly that. The Federal Reserve part of it is now the one variable that's actually up in the air. And that's the part the Treasury market is having difficulty trying to settle. It's not because inflation has come roaring back, or the reflation has started, or the government market is about to blow up. It's because until oil prices come back down, there's a greater degree of uncertainty over the Fed. What the Federal Reserve should do is check out producer prices in China, because you can tell a lot about consumer prices around the rest of the world from Chinese producer prices. And we did just that in the video link below. As always, thank you for joining me. Check out Eurodollar University Spring Sale, final days there. As always, thank you to Eurodollar University members and subscribers. And until next time, take care.